Well, that's fantastic that you're involved with MenCap, and we'll perhaps talk about that a little bit later. But we've just got some questions for you, Sam, about how the COVID-19 pandemic and all the restrictions has affected your day-to-day life. You know, it certainly affected Chip's day-to-day life and mine too.
You mean me personally?
Yeah, you know, going shopping, travelling, any social activities. Because a lot of things that we used to do before are a little bit more difficult to do now.
Yeah, they are.
How do you feel about that?
I suppose how the pandemic's affected me personally is I haven't been on the bus since March. I suppose, one, it's because you have to wear a face mask, and two, I just lost confidence really in getting on the bus.
So I haven't been catching any buses, or I haven't been going in any shops because of the mask rule. So basically, we're in the same boat.
I think you're right there, Sam. It's affected people's confidence, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's more affected mentally. It's like if people think we'll get on buses and then there's a case of someone's not wearing a mask, you feel more at risk of maybe getting the virus than you would if everyone else was actually wearing a mask. Because if you read it in the... You can read it in the county press where people have been put on Facebook that when they get on the bus, they've been taking the mask off and... you're meant to be wearing it all the time, but it's just, you know, it's a little bit more, and especially if the bus is packed, you feel more at risk, and I don't know, it's just like it's more confidence, and
You do feel a little bit more vulnerable, I think, and
you do, and also it's tying in with the train. I haven't been on the train either, but I would probably feel more confident in getting on the train than I would a bus, because the time difference on the train, you only spend 20 minutes wide, and you, whereas on the bus you've got that moment, holiday season, there's now people over, you're in traffic jams and slow traffic, you're spending more time on the bus than you would on the train because there's no traffic.
It's a very difficult situation for people, because in some places it's you have to wear a mask, and in some places you don't have to wear a mask, so it's a little bit confusing. And I know you know, this has been a particular issue for you, Chip, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been an issue for me. Like I said, I haven't been going on buses or going in shops. I had to catch the ferry. It was okay going up on the deck. I could deal with going up on the deck, but going inside on the ferry, I mean, that was hard.
What do you think, Sam, about the restrictions being eased now? Because you mentioned there a lot more people are now coming on holiday to the island, which is understandable.
I understand that people, you know, want to come over on holiday, which is good. But my only worries about that is that there's more risk of this virus being transmitted, people getting infected. I suppose with these kinds of restrictions, you only do what you feel comfortable with. I mean, people, for example, the pub and that.
You're right. You have to feel confident in about what you're prepared to do.
Maybe these restrictions have been eased too fast. Maybe the pubs opening too soon wasn't a good idea.
I suppose it's a hard balance between opening things up and getting the economy up and running
back on track,
but then, you know, people being worried about it returning again. So it's a very fine balance, I think.
I suppose the way they've communicated with some of the open up could have been better, particularly for people with mental health and learning disabilities. There's been a lot of confused mixed messages from the government. I know, especially with some parts of the border up north being closed because they've had another lockdown, and down here we're opening. And then, of course, like last, I think it was the last Friday, Boris Johnson said he's stopping some of like bowling alleys from opening up because the virus rate was slightly going up a little bit, and he had to stop it from getting out of control.
And I mean that easing of the restrictions, you know, that certainly is something that people are going to have to try and work around. But you mentioned there about, do you feel as though you've had enough support, particularly people with mental health or learning disabilities? Have they had the support they need?
I have, because I was fortunate enough to come to Hay and Sandra in lockdown, but I know many people have been stuck at home isolating, haven't, and social service have come in and they've sort of reviewed the budgets, so to speak, which means they couldn't get access to the farm. I know a lot of people who maybe the support has been self-isolating due to that they live with maybe vulnerable people who they've got the virus would be really bad for them. I was quite fortunate enough, but I know many people, especially people with learning disabilities, haven't had the support, maybe due to the amount of people having to isolate, or you know, the amount of people that they're trying to support, and there's only like a couple of support staff on duty.
Yeah, you mentioned there about the messages and being a bit confused, and I guess a lot of people are a bit confused, because when the first message came out, it was quite simple. It was stay at home, stay safe and save the NHS.
But now it's stay alert, isn't it?
Stay alert and, you know, that
control the virus, yeah.
Control the virus, yeah. Thanks for reminding me, Sam.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, people are going to feel still a bit nervous about going out and doing things. And like you say, you know, what's happening at Haylands? Are you reopening or is it still closed?
We're reopening here, but we've got strict social distance in place. We've got cleaning regimes. We've got automatic hand sanitizers. We've got the two distance mats. We're having to wear face shields and face masks. Well, not so much outside, but once you're inside, we're having to sort of remind students and just, you know, not get too close. We have lost quite a few members of students, clients have come here, so we, you know, when the lockdown was announced, we were sort of trying to find ways to raise money because virtual income went from placements, so we've had to try things, some new ways to raise money. It's been 17 I think weeks and we've got this far, and it's still a struggle, so we've tried to look up grants and try and we've just done collapsible benches that fold up, and it's been really successful, and that's brought in, you know, it's brought in some money, but we're always trying to think of new ways to keep us going.
So what sort of things do you do at Haylands Farm? Well, just generally, you mentioned, you know, people can go there, sort of activities.
We do animals, we've got horticulture plants, we've got a woodwork department, we've got classic cars, which at the moment is closed due to the, the situation, because the volunteers who run it are quite elderly.
Yes.
So there's more of a risk. We've got animals, goats, ducks, guinea pigs. So, chickens, so it's sort of like it's not as such as a farm as slaves. We do all the sort of things, and it's enabling people to become more independent and hopefully eventually move on and get a job in the community.
So you have volunteers, you basically rely on volunteers a lot, I should think.
Yes, and they're encouraged, they work alongside the students, you know, with learners, please, and we have support staff here, which also help as well.
That's fantastic, yeah. Sam. I mean, one of the things that Chip missed most when the lockdown started was actually doing his voluntary work.
Do you want to
mention about that, Chip, about not doing your voluntary work?
Yeah, I do Core Abbey on a Thursday, and that basically stopped. And all my voluntary work just crashed overnight.
Yeah,
and it upset you a lot, didn't it?
It upset me a lot, and mentally, it got to me mentally.
Yeah.
I would say this, like, with what's been going on, I haven't been affected by the virus, but I would say it's probably affected me mentally.
And I think, Sam, you know, this is something that a lot of people, whether, you know, whatever age, elderly or young people particularly, you know, how it's affected them mentally. And it's going to take, you know, a lot of effort to sort of get back to some kind of normality.
It's going to take a long time.
It will. I must say, when my nan actually got it, when she got this virus, I must say I had to isolate for 2 weeks, and that was hard enough, not being able to go out at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got, but then, you know, for all this period of time, you know, I was quite lucky. I didn't have to isolate that so much. But for people who, with all like mental health services have been stopped, and they, you know, would come and meet groups like the Aspire, and that, it must have been really, really bad for them. And I mean, when we first locked down here, we only had 4 people, including myself, who were here at the farm, 4 clients, and about three, four members of staff. And this, all the other staff were on furloughed.
Yes.
At the time. So it was a challenge.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it was a challenge. And
but it was, we got us through it, hopefully.
Well, Sam, it sounds as though you're doing a marvellous job at Haylands, and with all the support staff as well. And it's been a real pleasure to talk to you today.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, and you're doing a fantastic job.
And let's hope that people listening out there will support Haylands and support you moving forward.
Thank you very much.
So thank you very much again, Sam, and take care.
Thank you, Sam.
And you, all right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care.